IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Beta, and once again, I have the chance and opportunity to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And here with me, there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said a beautiful narration, which I'm going to recite for you. The one who oppresses, the one who cooperates with him, and the one who remains silent are all oppressors. And today we're going to talk more about this silence and, you know, the reaction that we have, we should have as Muslims and as human beings towards oppression and so on. There are two different situations whenever sometimes some oppression happens between you and, you know, a kind of little group of people. In these situations, you can actually forgive those people and keep that happening silent deep in your heart. But when it comes to larger groups of people, when it comes to massacre or genocide or whatever, this is your duty to rise your voice, to stand for those people who are oppressed. But the question that here comes up to everybody's mind is that, okay, if it is our duty as complete and as a good human beings to protect those who are oppressed, then why God doesn't do anything towards all of these wars, all of these viruses, pandemics, I don't know, whatever, that what kind of disaster that we're facing in this world? Yeah, Sheikh Rouhani.
First of all, we should know that theologically speaking, because this question relates to God's attributes, of course, we have to look at this issue from theological perspective. According to the theologians, God's will, or irada, which is termed in Arabic irada, will, God's will is of two types. One is irada at-takwiniya, creational kind of irada or will, and the other one is irada at-tashri'iya, which is the legislative kind of irada or will. When it comes to irada at-takwiniya, of course, in the creation of the whole universe, in the creation of the mankind, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a human being in a way that they are provided with free will. Inna hadaynahu as-sabeel imma shakiran wa imma kafura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that we will try to guide you in the right path, but at the end of the day, choice is yours. Either you accept the invitation and be guided to the right path, or not, you may follow the satanic way and you will be sent to the hellfire. Because hellfire is the result and the outcome of your own deeds, and Jannah or paradise is again the result and the outcome of your own deeds. But of course, we send our prophets, we send our saints or imams, or let's say pure and righteous kind of figures to you to guide you, but the decision should be made by you. That is why if there are some people in this world, they are oppressors. They sometimes commit, for example, great or major sins. Or they, for example, massacre or commit, for example, let's say, killing and massacring of the innocent civilians. It is something that happened in the universe, but it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never punish them, either in this world or in the hereafter. Because when Satan did not, let's say, surrender or submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Satan that you have to prostrate in front of or in the presence of Adam alayhi salam, so Satan did not obey Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we cannot say that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not force and pressurize the Iblis or Azazil, which was the other name of Satan, to prostrate in front of Adam forcefully with the pressure. No, it's not the case. Or for example, the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Habil and Qabil. Qabil committed killing his brother. So here we cannot say that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop Qabil to kill his brother. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop Satan, for example, from not prostrating in the presence of Adam. Or why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop son of Nuh to follow his father, you know. There are many other examples. For example, the family of Lut, Prophet Lot or Prophet Lut alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim, or the rest of the, or the children of Nabi Yaqub, or for example, the people who crucified the Jesus Christ alayhi salam, ala nabiyyina alayhi salam, or Prophet Yahya, Prophet Zakaria. All these prophets were will killed in the most brutal and the savage kind of manner possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never stop forcefully the people from committing sin or committing major sins. This world is like a test, like it's an examination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with all the facilities that we need and provided us with the chance of living in this world and gives us the chance and tell us that, okay, the end of this life is the eternal life. You either will enjoy a kind of eternal pleasures or happiness or prosperity, or, for example, will be sent to the hellfire. Choice is yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never force us. That is why the oppressors who commit oppression against the innocent civilians in this world, of course, some of them we can see that even in this world they will get the punishment. For example, in our time, we can, as a case studies, look at, for example, Saddam Hussein. What happened to Saddam Hussein at the end of his life, yeah? Or look at, for example, Muammar Gaddafi. What happened to him? Or look at, for example, the other figure who in, what was that? Yugoslavia.
Or Chile.
Yeah. And many other figures, you see that they were the oppressors. But at the end of the day, what happened to them? It is the contemporary, let's say, time. We see all of them with their destiny, final destiny. Though, of course, we are not 100% sure that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them. But, of course, the punishment will be there, either in this world or the hereafter. We cannot say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot do anything against this, let's say, oppression. One point that I should mention here, that sometimes even, for example, killing or massacring of the people, particularly the babies, the children, has a very strange kind of result in the history. Let me mention the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and the children and the babies were born at the time of birth of Prophet Moses alayhi salam. So Pharaoh ordered and commanded to kill his forces to kill all the babies who were born at that time. So we see that only Moses alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, survived from those policy. But later, according to many of these scholars, there is a very nice interpretation of this event in the history. They say that the arwah, or the spirits and the souls of these babies, finally, since they are pure, they are mutahhar, they are, let's say, clean and purified, the souls of these babies who are killed by Pharaoh, they later had their spiritual kind of influence on their parents, on the coming generations. And then the coming generation after them, they finally conquered the Egypt, and they finally defeated the Pharaoh.
Yeah.
So even the soul of these babies will have their role in this world, according to some of the scholars who interpret these kind of events. So I mean that sometimes the bloodshed, of course, it is brutal. It seems to be very much painful. Of course, tragic, I mean. But at the end of the day, we see that it is the oppressor who finally will be defeated. As it happened, for example, in the history of Karbala, we see that Amawids killed Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sawtah in the most brutal way. But at the end of the day, it was the movements started against Amawids by Tawabin, by Mukhtar al-Saqafi, by Khurasaniyun, or the Abu Muslim Khurasani. And finally, they actually stopped, and they actually toppled down the kingdom of Amawids.
Yeah.
So this is the blood of the martyrs, the role of blood of the babies who are martyred, blood of the youngs or the youngsters or the youth or the innocent people who are martyred. Finally, at the end of the day, they will be the victorious.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheikh, for once again for providing us with your beautiful explanation. And you know, after putting the problem on the table and analyzing it in detail, we, at the end of the day, we come to this point that, okay, we shouldn't be silent, we shouldn't be actually indifferent towards all this oppression in the world. But the question here is that, as you mentioned, Brother Ali, the least we can do is the hatred that we have in our heart towards all these oppressors. But if we really want to do something about it, what should we do?
If we want to do something?
Yeah, really, we want to do something influential about these oppressions around the world. What are the ways, the solutions? What are the things that we can try?
Yeah, actually, as we said earlier, the least that we can do is to show our hatred. I mean, to see that we really find our... we really want to say that this act of this action that is being happening, this oppression, we have no tendency towards that, and we have no relation with that. I mean, we actually we want to say that we have we do not agree with what is happening. It starts from inside, and then we can show it in our words, as I said, by our pen, by our speeches in different areas, in different places. People can have a good influence in cyberspace, in media. Let's say at least we can show our enmity or our disagreement with these actions that's happening, at least in the page that we have. I don't know if those who are familiar and acquainted with social platforms. If, for example, we have a page in Facebook and Instagram or anywhere in X or Twitter, former Twitter, we can show our disagreement with what is happening. Second, we can work on the enlightenment of the people, to enlighten those who need to know. It starts from our family, the people who are around us, our community, to tell them that about the oppression that is happening, and regardless of the religious aspect of this oppression and the duty that we have on our shoulder, from the perspective of a person as a human being, that what is the natural reaction toward this action that is happening, towards this oppression that is happening that part of the world, in any part of the world. So showing this disagreement is the least that we can do. But in case there is a possibility of doing something, so it is on us to defend and to defending. I mean, the person who is under oppression. So, if there is a possibility of us, we see different cases in the world today that those who are able, they have found their duty and they act upon they acted upon that accordingly.
Thank you, Brother Ali, and thank you, Sheikh Rouhani. As we are all aware of the modern world and the weapons that we have in our hands, which is the social medias, we can use it into our own specific benefits to show other people the true meaning of being a human being, which this concept is kind of being faded away, unfortunately, nowadays. And so the first step before all of these is to understand and analyze the value of not being silent, the value of standing for what you think is true and what is true. So thank you for listening to us, dear listeners. It was all the time we had for today's episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept that. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي. شفعة أنا لها